Hi, this is Jack Vaughn for SearchSOA.com, and I'm speaking with Robert Dano, author of the recent book, Service Design Patterns. And this is part of the Martin Fowler Signature Series. Hello, Rob.
Hello.
So, working on this book, which I've had the pleasure sitting with for a few evenings this week, it seems that the goal, or one of the goals, is to provide a reference that codifies web services designs and concepts. How did you go about that, and how does it pan out in the book?
Sure. Well, that's exactly what it is. It's a codification and a reference. It's not meant to be read cover to cover. It's kind of meant to be a book that when you encounter a particular issue, some problem you're trying to solve in your project, you can go look and see the different options that people have taken in the past to solve some recurring problems out there. So it's a classic sort of patterns book, essentially presenting a number of recurring problems, the context in which these problems occur, the reasons why those particular problems are very difficult to solve, the things that we've done in the past that may not have worked out so well, and then solutions that people find to essentially answer those issues, along with the trade-offs. Of course, every solution that we take, that we select, has its good and bad, so we try to spell out the consequences here. As far as how I went about getting there, first was identification of really what the focus of the book should be about. I started with looking at things from the larger solo perspective, but over time I decided that that was a rather large area that I didn't want to really get into and would leave it to others, and instead I said, maybe I should just focus on how developers implement web services that might be used within a SOA. So it involved tons of research, reading lots of specifications, talking to a lot of people out there, actually experience with my own teams that I manage, and essentially seeing how people solve these problems and noting them down, sorting them out, organizing them into what you see in the book. And one of the things I wanted to do was essentially show that there are a lot of common approaches between the folks that still use or ascribe to SOAPWSDL and then the folks who implement RESTful services. So I try to show a common thread that kind of goes between all of them.
Well, if we can give a little view on some of the web service API styles that are discussed, that are given consideration in the book, and sort of show that one size does not fit all.
Absolutely. Sure. So the book starts by identifying three API styles that we may choose from. And these are very much driven by the context in which the services are used. So the first I call RPC API. And RPC, of course, is short for Remote Procedure Call. The second is called a Message API, and some people refer to this as being a Document API. And the final is the Resource API. And Resource API is quite often used by those who follow the REST school of thought, although not all Resource APIs are RESTful. So in the first approach, an RPC API is probably one that most developers out there are familiar with, and it answers the question, how do clients execute remote procedures over HTTP? And in this approach, essentially we create a service that is really, its external interface is derivative of some procedure out there which is hosted on a server. So we define messages that identify within them the remote procedure to execute. And they also have a fixed set of elements in that message that essentially map directly back into the parameters of the remote procedure. So as you might guess, this can create a rather strong coupling between the client and the service. That all being said, most of the tools out there support this style quite well. We've gotten over a lot of the hurdles for cross-platform interoperability that you would often see, for example, between .NET and, say, Java servers out there. So it really speaks to a style that is really kind of promoting faster development, very productive, but the downside is a strong coupling. to a service, while avoiding the direct coupling to these remote procedures. So in this case, rather than creating some service contract and interface that is derived from a remote procedure, we said, well, let's just create an interface that stands alone. And the messages should carry all the information that's required about a particular topic, a task to execute, events, things of that nature. And when this message is received at a particular URI, the service will interrogate the content of the message and essentially route it to the correct handler. So there really is kind of this level of indirection between the service and the actual procedure that's executed. Now, that really promotes service evolution, I think, an independent evolution between the client and the service quite a bit more than your RPC API style. But as you can probably guess, it requires a lot more skill. You have to really kind of understand some things at a lower level. You may use SOAP and WSL. You may not use SOAP or WSL at all, which is actually probably the most flexible approach. So the time to development may be a little bit longer than your RPC style, but again, promotes evolution quite well. And then the final style we have is resource API. And here what we're trying to do is much of the same sort of thing. We want to call some logic on a remote system, but really avoid direct coupling to remote procedures and really minimize these domain-specific APIs. So what I'm referring to there is creating messages that identify procedures to call, that really kind of name the request message and response message. What I mean by that is, for example, in the RPC style, I may have to create a message for each request and response for a particular CRUD sort of activity. So I may have, for example, if I'm creating a company, a message called create company for the request, and then a response called create company response, and on for the remaining update, delete, et cetera, sort of operations. So as you can imagine, in a problem domain of any significant size, we could just have a real plethora of messages out there that we have to maintain. And the larger number of messages we have out there, well, the more the coupling there is. So the resource API says, well, let's think about things a little differently. Let's assign all procedures, instances, domain data, files, even transactions, a unique URI, and we can leverage the existing HTTP protocol to define the standard service behaviors, and that's, you know, defined pretty well through RFC 2616. Now then, we can exchange information by taking advantage of this application protocol stack, and then, where possible, use standardized media types and the status codes of HTTP to communicate. So it's a very flexible approach, but it's one that really kind of looks at the world differently and doesn't quite often, most of the time, utilize this unified service descriptor, for example, WSL, to say, you know, here's all my service operations and all the messages going in and out of some particular problem domain, some use case package. Quite often, these contracts are defined outside of the service itself it could be HTML web pages, it could be a Word document, but it's a very different way of looking at the world.
Well, we appreciate the chance to review service design patterns and to talk with you, Rob, today. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
And this is Jack Juan for SearchSOA.com.